Hey all, it's Evan Hill here of Real Hawk Talk. Super excited to talk to you about our good friends over at Burger Master. If you know anything about me, I crave burgers in my sleep. I do not mess around. Started in 1952, Burger Master is the best burger chain in Washington State. They have locations all over the Puget Sound in Aurora, Bellevue, Everett, Mill Creek, University, and Mount Vernon. Their fresh ingredients and classic drive-in experience make them the greatest burger chain in the state of Washington. Stop by Burger Master on your way home from a Seahawks game. You won't regret it. Hey all, Evan Hill here of Real Hawk Talk. Super excited to talk to you guys about our good friend Blake Johnson of ManifestFit.com. Football season is quickly approaching, and it is a struggle to stay in shape while eating burgers and nachos. ManifestFit.com is your one, only true online personal training service with workout and nutrition programs specifically based on your needs. They work with clients all over the U.S., and what makes Blake and ManifestFit.com so unique is that they don't believe training should be a luxury item. Now's the time to start. Head over to ManifestFit.com. Click on how to join and fill out the form. Their team will get back to you ASAP and help you start building a healthier, happier, louder Seahawks fan life.
The skyline is etched in my veins. You can never put that out, no matter how hard it rains. My city.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an emergency podcast edition of Real Hawk Talk. I am Brian Emhauser. You can find me on Twitter at Hawk Blogger. And folks, it is nearing the end of day one of the quote legal tampering period of free agency, and there's been a lot of action, even though none of it is quote unquote official. If you don't understand, if you haven't been close, you probably aren't watching this podcast if you don't, but just in case you don't, for the next couple of days, agents, teams can talk, things can happen, but none of the deals actually become official until Wednesday when the league year starts. So it's possible in some cases, and I think it even happened today with a kicker, Will Lutz, that thought he was going to sign with Jacksonville, but ended up deciding to go back to Denver. Nothing actually is official until Wednesday when the league year opens. So we will see. I was just messing with my mic levels before the show. So if I could get a quick verification from chat that I am coming through, not too loud, not too quietly, that would be great. Otherwise, I will make some adjustments. Most likely, I will be doing it solo tonight, which, okay, thank you for the mic verification. I have been madly refreshing my Twitter feed today, looking for updates and seeing everything that's going on. And if you haven't seen it yet, let me just pull it up because I think it is a good little reference guide. Mike K, his Twitter handle is at Mike, M-I-K-E underscore E underscore K-A-Y-E. Is that the right Mike K? I might be looking at the wrong Mike K. This is a guy I've been retweeting, Mike K. He has a nice little reference guide for free agency. Maybe not. Let me find, I'll have to look at my timeline. Anyway, point being, story of the day. Let's start with the Seahawks, because obviously that's what most people are here for. Leonard Williams is a Seahawk. That is, I think, by most accounts, the number one priority for the Seahawks in this free agent period was to bring back Leonard Williams. The Seahawks surrendered a second and fifth round pick to bring Leonard Williams to Seattle. They did not sign him to an extension when they brought him to Seattle. They risked losing him and a second round pick for what was going to be a half a season of his play. Instead, they re-up him. Thank you, Mike Clay NFL. That I see that in chat. I don't know why. There must be multiple Mike K in the NFL. Anyway, he is back with the Seahawks on a deal that I think is pretty darn good. It's more than we initially thought. And so I think some people are reacting to that. His average per year is going to be around 21.5, I believe. We'll find out all the final numbers and anything that might not have been might not have been verified yet. But initially we were thinking, you know, if Draymond Jones last year signed for between 17 and 18 million a year, Javon Hargrave signed for, you know, I think it was 21. Let me actually look up Javon Hargrave's contract. I think his was in the 21, 22. Yeah, 21 million a year. We were guessing that Leonard Williams was going to fall somewhere in between. And then, you know, Chris Jones signs for nearly 30 million a year. And then Christian Wilkins from Miami does not get franchised. And he signs with the Raiders for what ends up being about 27 and a half million a year. And all of a sudden, it did not seem realistic that Leonard Williams was going to sign for 18 or 19 million. Whoever was going to sign him, the only realistic range was going to be 20 to 23, I thought. And I had guessed this morning that he was going to be around 60 to 65 million in total contract, 3 years. My guess had been, I think, 45 to 50 million guaranteed. I think all those are pretty close to right, except for the fact that I think his guarantees are a little less, 40 to, I think it's like 43 million. But that puts him in a reasonable place. Yeah, I'm looking at Javon Hargrave's contract right now. He signed last year. It was an $84 million deal. Does not say how many years it was, but I think it's got some void years attached to it. So it was basically a 4-year deal, and averaged 21 per year and had 40 million in guaranteed money. So Leonard Williams ends up signing for a little bit more in guaranteed money than Javon Hargrave. Javon Hargrave, roughly the same age, was a little bit older than Leonard Williams. And I think it was Brady Henderson that tweeted that essentially Leonard Williams signed the same deal he signed for his second contract, other than it's about $500,000 a year more. So I think that all, you know, all the potential implications here of, oh my gosh, are the Seahawks just going to fall for sunk cost fallacy and sign Leonard Williams no matter what the price to justify the deal that they made? That didn't happen. If Leonard Williams didn't sign with the Seahawks, he would have gotten this much or more somewhere else. This is a very reasonable contract. Can debate whether or not that's where you want to spend your money, or spending that much on a free agent, is that ever a good idea? I think that's all fine to debate. But from a, this is not a dramatic overpay. In fact, I think this is pretty much market rate. So good on the Seahawks for getting Leonard Williams back. And as I've said since they acquired Leonard Williams, I always thought of that deal, like people were so critical that, hey, this was just, they thought they were contending and they thought this was the final piece. I never thought that. I always thought that they recognized that defensive tackle is a very hard position to find, especially one that can have some impact. And the Seahawks have had a terrible time finding impact defensive tackles. And so it turns out that the cost of acquiring a very good defensive tackle for the Seahawks was a second and fifth round pick. It's a little bit pricey for what was a 29-year-old player, but you know, if he had walked, it would have been a disaster. I said that when the deal was made. If he walks, this was an absolute disaster. But if he stays, if they're able to re-sign him, then, you know, are you sure you could have gotten a better defensive tackle over the next 3 years in the second round than Leonard Williams? I think that's a fair question. I'm not sure. Looking at the defensive tackles, you know, I love Chris Jenkins, for example, from University of Michigan, and I think that he could be a good addition, and he's the kind of guy that could be there in the second round. Is Leonard Williams better than Chris Jenkins over the next 3 years? I think probably, yeah, he probably is. So, you know, this is now a foundational piece of your defense. Teams basically build out their rosters over 3-year periods. So you could say, Leonard Williams is old. He's not going to be here for 6 years. Well, they're not planning for 6 years. They're planning over the next 3 years. And I think there's every reason to believe Leonard Williams is going to be a quality defensive tackle for the next 3 years. Fletcher Cox retired just this offseason. I'm trying to figure out his age. Fletcher Cox, 33 years old. That's how old Leonard Williams will be when this deal's done. So I don't think it's unreasonable to think Fletcher Cox was playing good football. I think that Leonard Williams can be the same Leonard Williams he's been. And Leonard Williams is also one of the things he brings is he can play any spot on that line. He can play 5-technique defensive end. So he can play all the way out on the edge. He can play nose tackle if you need him to do that. I think that's kind of a waste of his talents, but he can do it. He can play 3-tech. He can be a disruptive, penetrating 3-tech. And he even played some kind of Leo edge position when he's with New York last year. He absolutely gave Trent Williams all sorts of problems when, you know, when Trent Williams was playing left tackle. Leonard Williams was, I think, maybe the most effective player I've seen against Trent Williams in years in the games he had against him. So this is a guy that gives Mike Macdonald a good chess piece, a good locker room guy. This is a guy the Giants did not want to give up. They were reluctant to do it, but they wanted to honor him knowing that he was playing for a really shitty team. And so I think Mike Macdonald's got a good guy to work with. One of the other interesting pieces here is Leonard Williams really said that he wanted to play for a contender. You know, he had not had good luck with the Giants over most of his career. And I find it hard to believe this was the only offer on the table or that he was going to give the Seahawks some kind of big discount. I'm assuming he had other options. And I'm assuming that some of those were potentially teams that were contending or could be contending. He judged this a place where he feels like he can be part of something. And I think that I don't make that the most important part of this decision, but I do put some credence in that. This is a guy that, you know, he's at the stage in his career, at a third contract. He could play for less money than normal to make sure he gets the ring that he wants to get. And at this point, he chose the Seahawks. And I think there's some reason to believe that that's a good indication of you know, what they're building here. Sorry, I'm going all around here looking. Yes, the website or the account that I was talking about, free agent list, is, thanks to the person who said it before, it is Mike Clay. I kept saying Mike K. It's MikeClay, NFL. And I'll put the link in chat here for everybody. It is a good little free agent list of who's left. This was of everybody that was in it to begin with. And you can kind of see who's here and who's gone. Leonard Williams was very clearly the third best defensive tackle on the free agent market. Chris Jones and Christian Wilkins go. And Leonard Williams is a Seahawk. So I think that's very good news. The other news for the Seahawks today from a signing perspective is Noah Fant. Noah Fant is back and he signs a 2-year deal. Let me just make sure I pull up his deal properly. I think Evan had this somewhere. So Noah Fant, 2-year deal, $21 million, $9 million signing bonus. $12 million total in 2024, $9 million in 2025. Evan says that based on these details, cap hits for Noah Fant should be $7.5 million in 2024 and $13.5 million in 2025. With, I'm not seeing, so the $9 million signing bonus, I think those are probably the guarantees. That means that they could potentially get out of this deal after this year without a lot of damage to the cap. And Evan actually says that in his next tweet. If he doesn't produce in 2024, it's easy to cut in 2025, assuming that there's no major base salary guarantees there that he doubts. So it's kind of like a one-year deal. I think that's fine. I personally was not super eager to bring back Noah Fant, not because I don't like him, but because I thought he was going to command a decent chunk of change. And frankly, I don't want money moving to the tight end position. You've got three good receivers in DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Tyler Lockett. You've got at least two good running backs in Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker. I just don't think the tight end position is that important for this offense to succeed. In fact, of all the positions in the offense, I would almost rank it dead last for offseason priority. I would rather them get multiple guards and a good center and all those things before even, you know, a starting tight end. I'd be happy with undrafted free agents manning the tight end spot if necessary. So for me, it wasn't a priority and I didn't really care. I was hoping they could snag someone like Colby Parkinson, who I think is a good player, at a bargain basement deal and get him under the radar. That definitely not an option, because Mr. Parkinson absolutely cashed in today. Good for him. He ends up with just a huge deal. Let me pull it up here. Colby Parkinson, I think it was... I want to make sure I get these numbers right, because it was eye popping. Come on, baby. Sorry, folks. I'm typing and talking at the same time. So let's see if this has it in there. Rams. So he signed with the Rams, which is kind of a gut punch. He is from down there, so he's excited to go back home. So this is a 3-year contract worth $15.5 million. I thought it was more than that. I thought when it was first announced, it was like in the $20 million range. 3 years, $22.5 million is what this that I'm seeing here. Now it might have been reported out as like less. Maybe that's why the 15.5, but at the original announced time, it was 3 years, $22.5 million. So you're talking about $7.5 million for Colby Parkinson. And no, I mean, I like Colby Parkinson, but you know, I don't think that they need to spend that kind of money. And then you get essentially Noah Fant for at least this year. The cap hit at $7.5 million is essentially the same as Colby Parkinson. I'm sure Colby Parkinson will have a smaller cap hit, but price wise, it's similar. And Colby Parkinson is, I don't think the player Noah Fant is. I don't think there's a huge gap, but there's a gap. And Noah Fant's still 26. He's got some upside. He's a good player. He's an above average tight end. And who knows what you're going to get with Ryan Grubb. Ryan Grubb made good use of Jack Westover, tight end at University of Washington. I don't think it was a focal point of that offense, but he didn't have a player that had Noah Fant's skill set. So, you know, Devin Culp was a pretty athletic tight end, but I'm not sure he's as refined of a player as Noah Fant. So maybe Ryan Grubb can get a little bit more out of Noah Fant than we saw in the couple of years that he played in Seattle. So, and look, the cupboard was very bare for the Seahawks on the tight end side. And they needed somebody. I personally was fine if they would have waited till the end of free agency and gotten scraps, but they got somebody. It might indicate that tight end's a little bit more of a priority for Ryan Grubb than we could have thought. And that could be a good thing. So the Seahawks have Noah Fant. They also, they had to say goodbye to Will Dissly, who signed with the Chargers. Mr. Jim Harbaugh signed him to go down to LA. So both Colby Parkinson and and Will Dissly went down to LA so they can maybe be roomies down there. And they've left Seattle. So they really didn't have a chance to bring those guys back. And with Fant, they've at least got one guy. Tyler Mabry is a guy that has been around practice squad and is a solid blocking tight end. He's a fine rotational guy. And there's a fair number of guys that should be available in later rounds and even undrafted players. I mean, could be a Westover, could be a Culp that you get in an undrafted kind of situation. And I'm not sure that's the worst thing in the world. Evan's trying to join. We will see if I decide that I want him to join. I do, but he has no video right now. So like at least 50% of what Evan brings is just his smiling face. So, I will bring Evan aboard here in just a little bit. Other pieces that I think stood out today are, running backs. Sorry. Evan's talking to me. Yes, people can watch you eating a burrito. Just turn on your freaking camera. Let's go. All right.
There's always complaints and comments about me eating tacos in the background.
I think so. It's less concerning to watch you eat. It's more if we have to like listen to you chew, maybe that wouldn't be so great. So, you know, but otherwise you look flushed, dude. Did you just come from a workout?
Oh my God. I just did the hardest yoga class of my life. I'm like, still sweating. It's not good, but yeah.
Nice.
Did a yoga class. So,
how are you feeling about the day?
I'm pretty patient. I'm pretty excited about how things have gone so far. No major contracts that have gone off the board that I was like, oh, really bummed about. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought the reaction to the Jordan Brooks signing with Miami was completely overblown.
Okay.
I'm being honest with you.
I was driving when some of that happened, and I actually haven't gotten to that news yet. Just for folks that don't know, Jordan Brooks signed a 3-year, $30 million deal with the Denver Broncos. Sorry, not the Denver Broncos, the Miami Dolphins. And I think the actual deal ended up being for even less than that, it sounds like. Like the maximum was $10 million a year. I think he's going to be getting around eight and a half a year, something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, what stood out to me is even PFF had him making, you know, $12 million a year or something like that, or somewhere around there. And you saw like Aziz Al-Shaair get more money to go to Texas. So like Jordan Brooks did not get second best linebacker, off-ball linebacker in this class money. He didn't even get third best. I think he might have gotten fourth best or something, maybe even farther. So what happened on Twitter? What was the reaction that you're talking about?
Yeah, people were really, really upset that Seattle did not match that contract. I think he's a fan favorite for whatever reason. I think he's a good guy, you know, humble. Everybody loves him in the locker room. I know there was debate early on when he was drafted several years ago whether they should have gone with Patrick Queen or not. But there's a lot of people who wanted him back for whatever reason. I think we're in agreement. I don't think we ever viewed him as like a bad player, but I also don't think we viewed him as like a blue chip must have sort of retained type of guy. He did go for a little bit lower than I think we anticipated, right? I think we were talking like low teens, maybe mid teens for his market. So it's potential, you know, there's potential that the market was a little trepid about his injury history. I think there's some possibility there, but yeah, it came in low, $8.5 million. I think with incentives could bring it up to $30 million over 3 years. It'll be interesting to see what they do at the position because there's obviously like a gaping hole there now. So they got to bring in somebody.
So I'm not here to drag anybody about this because everyone's got their favorite players and everyone invests a little bit in stuff. And I think Griff, C-Mike Spin Move, and Matty Brown, they do, I think, tons of work on film, and they know stuff that I don't understand in scheme and all those kind of things. But they're very they've been very invested in linebackers the last couple of years. Cody Barton was a guy that they really were, they defended quite a bit, and he did not do well in free agency. There's some metrics that imply he was a better coverage linebacker last year than some people would give him credit for, but a lot of others that he was a really shitty linebacker for the Commanders last year. Jordan Brooks was a guy that they have, especially Griff, I think has really put a lot of emphasis in trying to explain why Jordan Brooks is a special player and the kind of coverage that he can do downfield. And, you know, I think those are all well-reasoned, evidence-based, you know, film-based kind of points of view. I think that the market is indicating that they value linebackers differently than the way that they've evaluated them to be. And my issue personally with Jordan Brooks has never been, oh, I think Jordan Brooks sucks, we shouldn't bring him back. I don't think that true impact players like alpha blue chip level linebackers, I don't think they need a Griff or a Matty Brown or a you or a me to make their case. I think they make their case week in, week out. They make plays that change the course of a game. Linebacker is not a position that is hard to stand out in. If you're really good, it's very obvious. Now, you can get a little bit hidden if you've got a shitty defensive line and you're fighting through triple, you know, linemen and all this kind of stuff. But generally speaking, it's like, are you making plays at the line of scrimmage or behind it? Are you tipping balls, deflecting passes, making interceptions, causing fumbles? Are you getting to the quarterback? Whatever it is, they're pretty obvious things to see. And I just don't think Jordan Brooks had enough of those in his years with the Seahawks to really consider him a blue chip kind of guy. And Evan, I'm just at the point where if you're not in that direction, I don't know if I want to give you a second contract, especially if you're just coming off an ACL, even though he played the whole year. I wasn't sad to see Jordan Brooks go. I was a little surprised at the number, but I wasn't sad to see him go.
Yeah, I think you're right on. And I think it's pretty clear at this point that I think there's pretty good odds Patrick Queen is going to be a Seahawk.
Right?
By the end of this week, I don't think that's absurd to possibly think. There's been so many rumors, so much intelligence, so much sort of linkage between the obvious linkage between him and Seattle. I just think, let me put it this way. Guys, I'm probably one of the most emotional Seahawks fans in this fan base. I'm like borderline bipolar about this football team. Okay. So I recognize like I don't have a lot of ground to stand up on, but trust the process on this one. There's a lot of reasons to feel hopeful. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. Mike McDonald has been the coach of the Seattle Seahawks for like 5-6 weeks. It's guys, we're what? Less than 11 hours into free agency. And you're freaking out that Jordan Brooks walked for $8.5 million a year. Can we just be patient? I don't know. It felt like a massive overreaction, and maybe it's just my timeline. It's possible it's that, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful. There's a lot of guys that we talked about for like multiple hours on this podcast as clear targets in free agency. Most of them are still available.
Yeah.
There were a couple of eye-popping contracts that stood out today. Jonah Jackson being one, huge number to the Rams, right?
Yeah.
That one does hurt, but a lot of these guys that we targeted, Clowney, you know, Zeitler, there's guys still available in a real value tier that if Seattle were to land any one of those guys, I'm far more excited than I think than 99% of the contracts that dropped today. So just like remain hopeful, guys, like be patient. It's day one.
I think it might be more your timeline. And from what I've seen some people that freak out a little bit about the money that they paid Leonard Williams, which I just think is, I explained at the top, I think it's a very reasonable deal given the market for what kind of player he is.
who was freaking out?
You have to look at my timeline, but yeah, there are people who are like, this guy's not worth it. He's not elite. And I'm like, well, he's not getting paid elite dollars. He's getting paid like, he's like the 10th, 12th highest paid D tackle or something like that.
That is a position we have been trying to solve for so long too, under John Schneider and Pete Carroll going back like 14 years, like the Malik McDowell stuff. Like there's so many domino effects that like, I think Seattle has gone into trouble trying to solve that position. When that guy's healthy, he's a freaking beast. He's an animal. He's disruptive. Like to me, it's no question he's worth, what was it, 21.5? I think you called it, by the way. Props on that.
Yeah, well, a little less impressive when you do it the morning of after seeing other contracts go out there, but that was around what I thought. I mean, that was a reasonable amount to spend. It's like up until this all started, I was like 20 million is what I could get comfortable with. He goes a little bit above that, but the market went up. So that's just the reality. But yeah, getting back to your point, I'm not worried about Jordan Brooks. I did feel like, you know, Blake Cashman was a guy I liked from Houston and he signed, so he's gone. Some people liked Frankie Louvu. He's signed, so he's gone. Jordan Hicks is another guy, linebacker, that some people liked. He signed. He is gone. Let me see. Who else we got here? Josie Jewell, still not signed. He's out there. He's a guy I've talked about. I think is a totally passable off-ball linebacker. Aziz Al-Shaair, we talked about, did sign. Tyrell Dodson, I believe, is still available. I have not seen that he signed. Anthony Walker is another decent player. He is signed. Drew Tranquil already re-signed with KC. I don't think Isaiah Simmons from the Giants signed yet. And then Willie Gay is another guy we talked about that I don't believe is signed yet. So you're talking about Patrick Queen, Josie Jewell, Tyrell Dodson, and Willie Gay. And you probably want to get two of those guys. So I don't think that's crazy to think that they could do that.
I mean, they have the money for it. They do. They have the cash for this. Like,
How much do you think they've spent so far? Like you said, the cap for Fant is probably 7.5. Do you have a guess of what the cap will be for Leonard Williams?
Man, it's so hard not knowing the signing bonus. Like if you told me the signing bonus, I could get within a degree of precision, but I'm pulling back up the Brady report. Leonard Williams, 3 years, 64.5. 43.85 million guaranteed. That is a good chunk in 21.5 average per year. Yeah, I need the signing bonus. I need to know at minimum like the cash flow to get like ballpark range because Got that it. Signing bonus like drastically changes the cap hit year one.
What do you have an idea of what you had to guess? Like what do you think the lowest it could be?
The lowest it could be? So I'm trying to what's a complimentary deal? How about that?
With the Wilkins deal? Oh, we've got breaking news, folks.
Stop it. Are you serious?
Damian Lewis is no longer a Seahawk. He has signed with the Carolina Panthers for years, $53 million.
Good luck, buddy.
Let's upgrade.
Where do you see that?
Jordan Schultz just tweeted it 22 seconds ago. Yes, I just retweeted it.
Oh yeah. Wow.
That's good news, man.
Is that a third round comp pick? What is that? Maybe that's not enough. Fourth.
I don't know. Well, this is also an interesting, the comp pick stuff starting to be an interesting case. So they won't get a comp pick for Leonard Williams cause he signed. Does the signing their own free agents count against the comp pick formula? I can't remember. Do you know?
They have to sign with another team. They have to leave your team.
No, but like, does Leonard Williams re-signing with the Seahawks cancel, or Noah Fant re-signing with the Seahawks cancel out the guys that left, like Colby and
I know a free agent acquisition would, but I don't know if it's like a guy who was on your team the previous year and his contract just expired.
I'm seeing in the chat someone saying that it's outside free agents only. I think that's right, but I always forget this time of year. So if that's the case, then the Seahawks should be in line for I think a fifth and a fourth or something like that so far, comp pick wise. And another guy that they're tied to, Evan, is Rayshon Jenkins, a safety who's got a lot of interest from the Seahawks. He's visiting the 49ers, potentially the Packers. And that would not count because he was cut. So, oh, and it looks like Jeff just told us John Simpson, another guard from the Ravens, just signed with the Jets for 2 years, $18 million. Why isn't Jeff on the show?
Let's bully him.
So I think this has got to be Kevin Zeitler, man. Like, if you're looking at the guards now, Kevin Dotson signed with the Rams, Graham Glasgow re-signed with the Lions, Damian Lewis signed with, I can't remember who I just said they signed with, not the Jets. That's who, John Simpson did. Damian Lewis signed with the Panthers. That's right. Jonah Jackson signed with the friggin' Rams. God, that pissed me off. Ezra Cleveland already re-signed. Robert Hunt signed for a boatload of money. John Runyon signed. John Simpson signed. Dude, we're getting low in the list. So I don't think there's anybody else left other than Zeitler. If you do not sign Kevin Zeitler, Evan, now, like, what the hell is your guard plan? It cannot be Anthony Bradford and whoever the else they pull off them.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
And they can't go into the draft like that desperate for guard. They just can't.
Can we go back to the Javon Hargrave, Leonard Williams cap stuff for a sec?
Yeah.
So Javon Hargrave, that was a 4-year deal. I'm trying to find like a 3-year deal that was relevant. What did Christian Wilkins sign for? Do we know? Was that?
Oh yeah.
That, I wonder if those details came off the board today.
They did. Aaron Wilson is always the guy that has all those numbers.
Christian Wilkins, 4-year, $110 million base. I don't see anything about a signing bonus. I'm trying to use a signing bonus as a reference.
That's the problem. I know what you're doing. Hold on. Let me see if I can. Oh, man, can I just search within his stuff?
I mean, could it be like
Christian Wilkins? Okay. Christian Wilkins, $110 million, 82.75 guaranteed, $24 million signing bonus.
24
salaries, $5 million guaranteed, $8 million guaranteed at initial signing.
Hold up, Brian. You said $24 million on a what total?
Here, I'll send this to you in private chat.
Okay. All right, perfect. So let's say $24 million on 110. So that's about 23-24% of it being a signing bonus. And what did Leonard Williams get? 62.5. Is that right?
Yes.
60. So that'd be
64.5
times 23. Let's just assume the signing bonus is the same percentage. There's no other way for me to do this. Let's say it's a $15 million signing bonus. I'm just rounding up. It actually might be a $15 million signing bonus, by the way. So if it's $15 million signing bonus, it's prorated over 3 years. That's at least $5 million in year one, $5 million plus a couple million dollar base. If I had to guess, it's in the $7 million range, year one cap hit.
So if it's like seven to eight, and like let's say $15 million between him and Noah Fant gone out of what is in year one, which what is a 42 to 45, like I'm talking about effective cap space. They probably came in with 42 to 45 in effective cap space. I think they had 55 total, but subtracting some out. So you're left with plenty of room to do. I mean, they can still get a couple linebackers, a guard, a safety. I think that's all still possible.
Oh, yeah. So Seattle, after the Tyler Lockett stuff, was at like $55 million in cap space.
Yeah.
So you sacrifice Noah Fant. Not sacrifice him. You get what I'm saying? Deduce that. My brain's not working.
Yeah.
So it's 7.5. We know his cap hit year one based off the Brady Henderson details. Thank you for that, Brady. So 55 minus 7.5. I'm literally so dumb at math. That's 47.5. What did we say? Ballpark for Leonard Williams. Let's round up. Let's say 8 million.
Okay.
39.5. And then was there anything else today?
No.
So I think Seattle has like ballpark range of like $35 to $40 million in cap space right now.
Okay.
I was going to tweet that out at some point, but you made me do the math live, which is good. So
yeah. I'm getting some inbounds from folks who not fans, but like media folks who are just like, what did Carolina do signing Damian Lewis to a 4-year, $53 million contract with $26 million guaranteed?
Yeah.
That's a yikes deal, dude.
It's just a lot for a very mid-tier player. And like, I'd rather have Kevin Zeitler at whatever number.
That, well, 100%. Kevin Zeitler is a better player. And so the price is going to be high. The Panthers and the Rams both spent big. Like, the Panthers also signed Robert Hunt. So they signed two high-priced guards, one of which is good, one of which is essentially league average. And the Rams, I think, did pretty well for themselves. They invested heavily in Kevin Dotson, who was, at least by PFF, considered the best guard available. And then went out and got Jonah Jackson, who is my favorite to sign with the Seahawks. Former Pro Bowl guard, big dude. So the Rams now, their offensive line, I'm jealous. Dude, I'm jealous. I'll be totally honest. I want a couple guards that you're just like, we're going to just mash you when you come and face us. And they've got them. We currently don't have a guard on the roster, like a starting guard. So you gotta think. I mean, is Kevin Zeitler or Patrick Queen your bigger priority right now?
That's a hard question.
For me, I came into the free agency, guard was my number one priority position. And I think it matters. I think if you can improve the offensive line significantly, one with a veteran guard and then two with a draft pick, then I think your offense can lift the whole team. I think there are a couple players on that offensive line away from being very good, and then have the ball longer, require less of your defense, run the ball better, protect better, have Geno play better. Like, everything improves. It lifts all ships. So I don't think they can miss on Kevin Zeitler. And was it you that brought up that John Schneider has been in on Kevin Zeitler before?
Like, they almost signed him pre the Gabe Jackson trade a couple off seasons ago.
Yeah.
I forget who they lost out on. Like, where did he go?
The Giants or the Ravens? One of the two.
I think it was Ravens. That's where he went.
That's where he is now. So,
man.
Yeah. I think that's the clear priority for me. If you lose Queen, it would be, I guess I don't know what he's going to cost, but, you know, potentially be a bummer. But there are some other options. And Evan, if you've got to limp through a year with subpar linebacker play, like, there's just always linebackers available. It's not a premium position, off-ball linebacker. You know, you'll have guys in free agency every year. You'll have guys in the draft every year. So
if I let me throw something at you.
Yeah.
If Patrick Queen signed for, I'm just throwing this out there. If he signed for 4 years, $75 million right now, what's your reaction?
Wait, say that number again.
Let's say he signed for 4 years, $75 million with Seattle right now.
Patrick Queen?
Yeah. What's your reaction?
Dude, that's crazy money. Wait.
It is. It's very possible he gets high teens.
I would not be happy with that. I would not pay 18, 19 million a year for an off-ball linebacker. And I don't think he's a Mike. I think he's a Will. I think he's a weak side. I think you got to have like a Josie Jewell or someone else that can play Mike and be the green dot guy. So no, I would not be happy. I would be happier if they passed on that and had, you know, Willie Gay and Josie Jewell, who no one else would be excited about, but I'd be like, fine, as long as you get Kevin Zeitler or some kind of quality guard. Maybe there's a guard they can trade for. I mean, that's another thing we haven't thought about. I don't know if there's a guard available for them to trade for.
It's possible, but running, coming off an all-pro year, he might get it.
No, well, I'm guessing the reason he hasn't signed yet, and by the way, Danielle Hunter has also not signed yet, the best pass rusher, edge rusher on the market. I'm guessing they're not seeing the numbers that they expected to see. And so I think there might be a little bit of a staring contest going on right now. And John Schneider does not blink in these situations. He will not go above his number. So if he's got Patrick Queen at 15 million or 14 million, and that's what he won't go above it. And Patrick Queen will have a chance to look around, and if he can find someone that pays him 19 million, then go for it. But I don't know if he's going to find that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to think of who else. That Colby Parkinson deal was a lot, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a lot of money.
There's been a lot of money getting thrown around. I mean, you raise the cap more than people expect, and all of a sudden everyone gets itchy trigger finger with their wallet.
What else happened today?
Well, I mean, the running backs were everywhere. Joe Mixon got cut.
Oh my God.
Joe Mixon got cut.
Yeah. Aaron Jones as well. Right.
Aaron Jones got cut.
Oh my God. Brian, okay. All the fans listening in the chat or on the show right now, do me a favor. Okay. This is unrelated to the Seahawks. If you use Reddit, go to the Giants subreddit and click on the thread of Saquon Barkley signing with the Eagles and just receive pure enjoyment for the next like 45 minutes. Because don't do it right now. Do it after the show. You want to stay plugged into the show. But I'm telling you right now, that reaction thread to Saquon Barkley joining the Eagles is top tier, Brian. It is that Saquon Barkley has become a football terrorist in their eyes, and I got great enjoyment out of that today.
I saw the reporting of it, but I did not read anything of it. The back and forth between Saquon Barkley and Tiki Barber, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. The Giants aren't good enough to care this much about anyone leaving their team. And they didn't pay Saquon Barkley. Like they made it very hard on him last year, and he eventually signed like a 1-year deal or franchise tag deal or whatever it was. I just don't get it, man. Like,
yeah,
if you wanted him that much, then give him a bag.
Yeah, it's agreed. The running back decisions today have been really interesting. Even Josh Jacobs got a little bag from
Green Bay,
the Packers, which is surprising, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. But I think the real story of the day, Brian, is like the trenches are getting paid right now. Like, yeah. There is a directional, I don't know if the right word is like acceleration towards building the trenches and paying for it. You look at Landon Dickerson, 4 years, $84 million with the Eagles. Robert Hunt, 5 years, $100 million with the Panthers. Kevin Dotson, 3 years, $48 million back to the Rams. Jonah Jackson, 3 years, $51 million to the Rams. The Rams have a combined like $100 million allocated to their guards over the next 3 years. Lloyd Cushenberry, 4 years, 50, Titans. Damian Lewis, who we just talked about, 4 years, 53, Panthers. John Runyon, 3 years, $30 million. What? Tyler B. I don't know how to say his last name. 3 years, $30 million with the Commanders.
Biotic, I think.
Like, that's crazy.
I know.
The cards are getting paid.
You know who's not really getting paid as much is the tackles. Like, Tyron Smith, I don't think, has been signed. Onwenu got signed.
Tyron Smith is like, what, 30,
34 or something like that? Yeah, he's pretty old. I still wonder about guys like George Fant, but these are like later third tier of free agency kind of signings. But yeah, I mean, Justin Madubuike also, you know, got a huge bag of defensive tackle. It's not cheap. It's not cheap to sign those guys. And edge rusher, we didn't talk about this, but Brian Burns goes from the Panthers to the Giants for essentially the Leonard Williams deal, a second and a fifth. Wouldn't be surprised if it's the Seahawks second, although it's a 2025 fifth, so it can't be the Seahawks fifth. And he signs a huge, huge deal. Andrew Van Ginkel signed a big deal. Za'Darius Smith, I was a little bummed he re-signed with Cleveland. He was a guy that I liked a little better than Clowney. Everyone was freaking out, Evan, when Chase Young got traded to the 49ers. And I was like, I think that people are overestimating Chase Young. There's no smoke around him. The 49ers did add Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd had 10.5 sacks this year for the Bills. But Leonard Floyd, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just sleeping on him, but isn't he like an old by now? He's got to be
33, maybe.
He's 31. He's a little younger than I thought. But, I mean, he's had at least 9 sacks the last 4 years. Do you think that moves the needle for the Niners?
They need edge help. Surprisingly, they struggled to rush the passer for long portions of the season last year. So I do think it helps them. They need it.
So they lose Eric Armstead. They cut him.
Yep.
They lose Chase Young. They lose Dre Greenlaw, most likely for the year with an Achilles, or at least for a portion of the year with an Achilles injury. And they add Leonard Floyd. We'll have to figure out what they do at safety. I think that's a position that's a sneaky position where they could make some hay. But I'm not sure that they're better. Like, they were not an effective pass rushing team in the playoffs last year with what was a stacked defensive line. I'm not sure that they're better. So we'll see about them. They signed Colton McKivitz. They re-signed him for 1 year, their right tackle. But yeah, I don't know, man. I guess, if we went to the safeties, that's the other position we haven't talked about. A number of guys went off the board. Antoine Winfield was franchised. Xavier McKinney did sign. Alohi Gilman with the Chargers re-signed. Taylor Rapp's already signed again with Buffalo. Geno Stone signed with the Bengals, I believe. So he's gone. I don't think Jordan Fuller signed yet, or Jordan Whitehead. There's some rumors that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is going to go back to Philadelphia. Jeremy Chin, I don't think, has signed yet. Julian Blackman, I don't think, has signed yet. I think there's still a decent amount of safeties out. Darnell Savage signed, so he's gone. I think there's still a decent amount of safeties to be had. I'm not as worried about that. And we already talked about, Rashawn Jenkins, that is a possibility there too.
Can I just shout out a tweet?
Yeah, of course you can.
Actually, do I want to shout it out from this person? No.
Just do it,
No, I'm going to retract it, actually. I'm going to retract it.
Okay.
Out of peace and love.
Okay. I love that. I love that.
Trust me, it's the right decision.
I'm sitting here, though. There are folks that were big on Jordan Brooks and big on Damian Lewis, and those guys aren't Seahawks anymore. I am not that. I would have been so much more disappointed, Evan, if at the end of free agency, the Seahawks had essentially brought back Leonard Williams, brought back Jordan Brooks, brought back Damian Lewis, and said, like, we're going to run it back and we're going to do better because we got better coaching. Like, no.
Another guard just fell off the board. Nick Allegretti, former Chiefs guard, signing with the Commanders, 3 years, $16 million, smaller deal, but the guards are going.
They are. I mean, but Kevin Zeitler is not gone yet.
Who? Hold up. Hold up. Unsigned guard. Oh, PFF is not updated for shit. Classic.
You're talking about, Nick Allegretti might not even show up on their top 200. He's a pretty low.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if he's even up there.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's not.
He's not.
Yeah, I mean, he's.
Did Ezra Cleveland sign?
Yes.
Fuck.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, it's pretty much down to Zeitler. And I have not seen. They really screwed Twitter so bad, dude. It used to be on free agency, I could set up searches on like TweetDeck or something like that. And I'd search for certain players' names and I'd set it to only show me verified accounts because I knew that at least those were somewhat reliable. You cannot just search by verified accounts. Verified accounts are maybe the least reliable accounts to go after on Twitter nowadays. Anyway, it's not a good way to. I used to be able to comb the entire tweetosphere, and it's a little harder to do that now. But I think Kevin Zeitler's got to be your guy. If he's not, dude, I mean, literally, who's on the roster that's a guard? Seahawks roster. We got Anthony Bradford, who. I mean, I'm not super excited about, but
I mean, he showed some flashes.
He's fine. He profiles as like a league average guy.
Man, I think you're underselling his potential a bit. He pancaked some people last year.
Yeah, but everybody pancaked. Like, he's a strong guy. He's got potential, but he was his best plays were like above average last year. None of them were like, oh my God, this guy is going to be dominant. I think if they don't sign somebody, then it means like McClendon Curtis, who they picked up off a practice squad, or maybe Raekwon O'Neal, who they picked up off a practice squad, that those guys could be in the running for getting real playing time. Yikes. So let's just hope it's Zeitler. And we'll have to keep refreshing to find out if
what that. What do we think Zeitler would come in at, like 10, 11, 12?
Let's pull it up. So first of all, PFF, what did they predict for Damian Lewis? They had Damian Lewis at 4 years, $9.5 million. $38 million total. So they underestimated good old Mr. Damian Lewis. Where's the details on that deal? 4 years, $53 million, 26 guaranteed. So he got almost $10 million more guaranteed than they predicted. Damian Lewis. What they predicted for Kevin Zeitler, 2 years, $7.5 million, $15 million total. So let's say that they're $10 million off on that. That seems crazy, but let's say he gets $25 million total for 2 years. So now you're at $12.5 million per. I think that's still a reasonable contract for him in this market.
I would pull the trigger on that so fast.
He's 34. So I don't know that you can give him a three-year deal. 2 years.
You could do 3 years and just assume it's going to be.
Yeah. So you could do the 3 years so that you could spread out the cap hit from the signing bonus and make it a lower cap hit this year.
Yeah. And just know you're going to cut him after year two. I mean, Guards can still be productive in their mid 30s, right? That is not a position that, like, I think has a hard fall off there, right? Like, guys can be productive there.
No, I agree. I think 37 is asking a lot.
Yes, it is. So. Yes, it is. But then again, we rolled out what's his face, who's like 47 years old at tackle last season.
Yes.
What was his face?
Jason Peters.
Jason Peters.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we've covered most of the ground. I will say, if folks have not already liked the show, for God's sakes, give it a like, give it a subscription, subscribe, as they say, click the bell to get notified. We will probably go live multiple days this week. Whenever I feel like it, I will do it. And also go to patreon.com/hawkblogger, sign up, get access to the Slack channel, because that conversation is happening all day long. Great info. You never have to worry about some kind of fake account tweeting something wrong. They will help assess every single guy and every single tweet. Patreon.com/hawkblogger. Any closing thoughts for you, dude?
Seahawks fans, trust the process.
You want to try that again? Process. There you go.
Trust the process. Trust the process. Trust the process. Be patient. Trust the process.
Gonna have to clip this for when Evan is freaking out about something mid-season. It's gonna be great. All right, Evan, thanks for jumping on, and thank you all for joining. This has been another episode of Real Hawk Talk. I'm Brian Nemhauser. You can find Evan Hill on Twitter at Evan Hill HB. Find me on Twitter at Hawk Blogger. And folks, I mean, if something big happens, I might be on again in half an hour. Who knows? So click subscribe, click the bell to get notified, and please go to patreon.com/hawkblogger. Sign up, get access to the Slack channel, support the show. Till next time, go Hawks. Hey folks, this is Brian Nemhauser. Thanks for listening to the show. Hope you enjoyed it. I want you to know that Real Hawk Talk is available on all major podcast platforms. Go ahead and subscribe, have all podcasts delivered directly to your phone after each and every show, and then go ahead and leave us a 5-star review. Helps us out, gets more people to the show. Then, if you haven't already done it, go to patreon.com/hawkblogger and subscribe for just $5 a month. Gets you immediate access to our Slack channel. Join hundreds of folks in that community to talk Seahawks about wins, losses, and all things in between. Not to mention, become eligible to win giveaways for Seahawks tickets and get to ask questions of the Real Hawk Talk crew every week on the show. Finally, if you haven't gone to hawkblogger.com recently, head on over. Tail the Tape morning after articles are there every week. Hoping to see you there. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting the show. Go Hawks.